practice any way you want, but all the paths lead home. You know, all the paths lead to the one I am.
I am the creator. You know, we are, there is no separation, because that is what unity consciousness is. That is what we're moving into when we understand there is no separation.
Every time you say I am, you need to understand that that translates into, in the name of God, I command this to be. The I am presence will fix everything. It creates everything.
Because when we say I am, and we're saying it authentically for ourselves, we are saying, I am that direct connection to source. I am source. I am who I am. I am not who I have been told to be.
I'm already in heaven. I'm already here. What was I just like agitated about? And it's about keeping ourselves in that consciousness so that it can then spread around the world. And there's enough of us now, if we've hit an event horizon, then nothing can stop it.
You know, but it is up to us to continue to understand that we are fully supported and loved in every moment, and then connect to the I am and say, I am that perfect peace. I am this perfect love. So when we choose to love ourselves consciously, as you guys are sharing with the world, that is an act of liberation. And it's a revolution that we're creating, a love revolution.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast.
My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love.
We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our 7-year journey to unconditional love.
Our mission is to help you learn how to love consciously in all of your relationships so we can journey together towards a more effective, intentional, and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Together, we have overcome neurodivergence, mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and grief. After 6 years, the lack of knowledge on how to heal or love each other through these challenges led to our separation.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we built our new conscious partnership, founded on unconditional love and a commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us as we put it all out there to show you the duality of our love's pain and beauty.
And remind you that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste, and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We're so excited to have two wonderful guests with us today. We are going to be talking about all things love and consciousness, honing in on I am and the I am presence. And so I am so honored to welcome Tangela and Charlie. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having us, Amaris and Eric. We are so happy to be here with you all and talk about two of our favorite subjects, love and consciousness.
Well, this is the Loving Consciously podcast, so it's two of our favorite topics as well. So before we get into the meat of that, I would love to ask you our intro question and then do some intros on who you are and what you do and what brought you to the work that you do. So that question is, what does loving consciously look like in your life?
You want to go first?
You go ahead.
Okay. So loving consciously for me, you know, it applies both, of course, to my relationship with my partner, with my husband, Charlie, but also to everyone and everything around me. Everyone and everything, including animals, plants, minerals, every person that we come in contact with. How can in each moment we choose love? Because that's the decision and the opportunity we have moment to moment. Do we choose love or do we choose something else? Fear, anger, hatred, competition. There's so much that we've been trained in that takes us out of love. And then it's up to us to consciously come back to choosing love over and over and over again, whether it's with our friendships, with our community, and of course, with our romantic partnerships, where we will get triggered time and time again. And the challenge will be, do I go back into my old patterns, my old habits, my old triggers, or can I consciously choose love?
Yeah, it is about like loving with awareness. And knowing that all life is you, all life is your partner, or your partner is in the path, the trees, all of these different things. And God is within your partner. And we're told from across the ages to love God with all of your heart. Love the presence that I am presence, because that I am presence is within all life. Every electron of every molecule, an atom, is filled with this same, with this cosmic energy that we call the I am, the God presence. And to know that that's her too. That's my wife. That's you guys. That's everything. And then you become more aware that how do you want to speak to God? How do you want to love God? And know also that God is within you as well. And that you're sending forth these energies into everything. And everything must come back to you because everything's a reflection. And it comes back real quick with your wife or your partner. You know, so it's like getting to be aware of what you want coming back to you makes you be a better lover of life and a lover of everything.
And then also being aware of consciously loving yourself. Because when we get down to it, again, we're trained, we're in that matrix of self-criticism, denial of who we truly are, needing to fit in and taking in other people's opinions, much more importantly than, you know, what is true to our authentic self, true to our soul. So it's also loving ourselves consciously and being aware of when am I choosing language for myself that's critical or denying who I really am. And consciously loving ourselves through that process, because that's natural and it happens. But we, again, can choose. You know, are we going to choose to stay in that matrix of our past and all of our habits and all of our fears and all of those judgments? Or are we going to choose to love ourselves so much that we're going to choose our authenticity, our I am?
You nailed it. And I don't know if you've heard our intro, but our intro to this podcast actually ends, the last sentence is, we're here to remind you that you have both the power and the capacity to always choose love. Yeah. And that's just really what we feel we're on this planet to do, is to have this love revolution and revive this lost, you know, concept of unconditional love of ourselves and everything else. So I love that so much. So I met you all at the Conscious Life Expo, which was a magical and life-changing weekend. And Eric was attending a different workshop. I got to attend your workshop, which was probably one of the more profound lectures that I've heard on I Am and on just consciousness in general and love and that piece, that key piece of tying it all back to love. I would love so much if you could share with our listeners, you know, who you both are and what you do. I know you're both doing incredible work with Soul Search and with your work, Charlie, and what brought you to that journey?
That's a great question. It's been definitely an unexpected journey. I am the founder of Soul Search. We are an online platform for spirituality and consciousness. Our mission is to support people on their consciousness and awakening journey wherever they are on that journey, whether it's just today, they're like, wait a minute, there's something more. I want some support in going deeper. Or if they've been an energy practitioner for the last 40 years, you know, we're here for everyone, really creating a consciousness community where we can share, where we can heal and transform and empower one another. And so we have an amazing community of thousands of practitioners. People can come to our platform to connect with all types of spiritual teachers, guides, energy healers, astrologers, past life regression, QHHT hypnosis, all types of practice. And then we also host live events. So we do our own enlightenment expos all over California, all over Arizona. We do online events, we do music festivals. And then we also have Soul Search TV, which is our conscious content streaming channel on Roku, Amazon, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire, where our practitioners can have their own shows. And we have amazing shows, everything from visiting sacred sites to quantum healing, light language, and much more. So it's amazing to be building this community and seeing how fast it's growing. It just shows me how people are really opening up and everyone is ready for this. Everyone knows there's more out there than what we've been told. And people are excited to start exploring, asking the questions, diving in. And that's why it's so great what you guys are doing as well, because, you know, we're all part of this great awakening together.
No big deal. It's just the platform that does everything. Thank you for sharing about that. I love your enthusiasm and your excitement. You know, something we talk a lot about on the show is there's just this energy present when someone's living in their authentic truth and living in their dharma, if you will. And I love how passionate you are about the positive side to this. You know, a lot of the consciousness and spiritual space can sometimes be very dark, and focusing on the shadows and the shadow work and all the conspiracies and all the different things. And sometimes we forget, like, this is exciting stuff. Like, we are living through the birth of consciousness on this planet, and I'm stoked about it. So it's lovely to see someone else who is, and that you've turned that into a platform of connecting people.
Myself, I'm a healer here in Sedona. I have an office in Sedona. I started opening my consciousness to the I Am teachings was the very first thing that I started resonating with. I didn't have a guru or a spiritual teacher. I didn't even know anybody else like me existed. And so I began studying and doing my own inner work, and transformations began happening. At the time, I had a landscaping business and ended up having to move. I had to begin traveling, and I knew my soul was calling me, and I came to the West. And then I ended up landing in Sedona and starting working with the public and bringing the teachings through. And, you know, I developed my own form of healing. I call it sacred fire healing, which is, it's energy work, but it's like with the invocation, it's more of a masculine energy than like Reiki. It's more like kind of like praying, almost like priest work a little bit, but I decree and command energy. And I teach other people that they can all do this too. Like the age of the guru is, it's over. The age of that, now the teachers, it's our responsibility to bring everybody up to the point where they're connected to their own individualized presence, so that we can go from being the gods and goddesses in embryo into our full-fledged God presence in human form. And this is the transition we're going through, beginning now, but over the next couple hundred years on Earth, like everybody's going to start waking up like popcorn, you know, like popcorn popping. And we get to be the front wave. And we're the ones blazing the trail, especially with these podcasts. We've got new technology that we didn't have 2000 years ago to spread the word and to do these teachings. We're in a time now you can be whoever you want to be, especially in America. You can be any tradition. You can practice any way you want, but all the paths lead home. You know, all the paths lead to the one I am. Mm-hmm. So the way my guides brought it to me was like, why not just go to the top? You don't need to go through all the side. You don't need to go all through the middlemen, you know, just go to the top and then let the I am presence direct whoever comes into your consciousness. And that's where I'm at. So I love doing this. I teach, I do free Zoom calls. I do a mentorship program. We do a bunch of stuff, but it's still developing. It's still fairly new, a couple years old, 2 or 3 years old right now, of trying to figure stuff out. I was not very technically savvy, so adjusting to working, you know, on an online platform was important to me.
I love that so much. You're a self-made I am. That's unique and really cool. I don't know if you know this, well, you probably don't, but after your talk, the flames and that whole part of your speech has radically transformed my life. I have used that tool as recent as a few days ago in the dentist in Sedona. I was in a, you know, getting some dental work done, a mercury filling out, and I was starting to have anxiety and feel really overwhelmed. And I was chanting in my head, like, I am the violet flame of power. I am the purity source requires. And that phrase has carried me through some pretty intense initiations these last few months. It's been a very purity journey of detoxes and dental work and things going on. And that has really, really carried me through. And so just through that talk, like, you made such an impact on my life through that. So I just wanted to share that with you and give you a little bit of love there.
Yeah. And you shared something really important there about empowering each and every person to be their own guru, right? To be their own savior in the society and the religions that we find ourselves in at this current time, there's just a lot of focus on the external and putting our spirituality and our spiritual growth on someone else, something else, whether it's a dogma, a figure, whatever it may be. And it's so incredibly important that as we grow spiritually, we take ownership of that and we utilize our consciousness as a vehicle for changing the world, right? Because God really does speak through and exists through each one of us, as you said earlier. And the I Am presence is recognizing that we are all connected to that same divinity, seeing that divinity in plants and animals and everything that we do and say and create. It's such a powerful tool to bring us back to our natural presence, which is the I Am state. It's the state of knowing that we are connected with everything around us, that we are not separate, and that we have the power to take ownership of our own lives.
It's not even that we're just connected to everything around us, but we are everything around us.
That's what I was going to chime in and say is something else you said, and this puts us right into our content today of talking about the I Am presence, and I'd love for y'all to share it in your words, but you know, we see so much in the spiritual space, especially like you're the creator of your own reality. And I hear that. And, you know, I was in that for a while. And then, you know, my consciousness evolved. And I don't know if you two know this, but we actually graduated from an online spiritual academy for consciousness. And so I Am consciousness was a big part early on in our journey. I actually have I Am tattooed on my neck. It was very early. Yeah, we were very blessed to have that. And so I hear people say this, you know, you're the creator of your reality. And it's like, yes, and you're the creator, you know, and it's like this, there's just this gap. And I'm so happy to see it starting to close of people realizing like all the spiritual and woo-woo stuff is great and fun, manifestation, all of that, but really understanding, right? Not just like conceptually understanding. I see, you know, religions recite all the time from the Bible, like I am that I am. And then it's like, but do you understand what that means? Is that embodied integrated wisdom of you are, period. Like there's nothing else. You are everything. You know, it's all a reflection of us because we're in everything. So with that, I'd love if one or both of you would like to, for our listeners, assuming they maybe don't understand I Am consciousness or they're new to it, it can be, though it's really simple, it can be really complex. So I'd love to hear in your words, if you had to succinct it down, how do you explain I Am consciousness or the I Am presence to people?
Well, for me, I think the best way for me to explain this, to very simplify it, is we come from a source that is I Am, okay? That then gives birth to like suns, I guess, like solar suns. And then we are that would be our souls, okay? And then we're like rays of light into incarnation, okay? And for the longest time, for the last 26,000 years or this last cycle, we've been working from this to directing our energy to connecting with our soul presence, okay? But then in these very unique times where we're going from the darkest age into a golden age, we get access, and I don't know how this is, but it's like a cosmological alignment where we get access right to the source, to the Godhead, all right? And we have an individualized I Am presence that is now directly communicating with us and through us. Okay, this is developed with us being on Earth right now. We've developed a new consciousness grid that's like going from the, whatever you would call it, the telegraph to like high-speed fiber optic quantum internet. Okay, and now as you reach these higher frequencies, we have access to that instantaneous call. Now all we're doing, we're beginning to dissolve all the misbeliefs and miscreations from within our consciousness, all right? And as this occurs by using the violet flame and the sacred fire, you begin having much more instantaneous activities coming through you from the I Am presence. But it also means you must become much more impeccable with your words. When you don't feel good, don't get up and say, oh, I'm feeling like crap. Like say, I am overcoming a cold, or, you know, we're like reformulizing the way we speak. And then in rapid succession, those decrees become reality.
Yeah, the I Am you know, is actually so powerful, because so much of, you know, we respect and celebrate all traditions, you know, all faiths, all religions, but the way that it's been passed down to us is one of disconnection from source, you know, and we're now here in a time and space to move beyond the spiritual hierarchies of, yes, I need a priest, I need a rabbi, I need an imam, I need someone to be that conduit to the higher power. We do not need anyone to be a conduit. Not to say that those people don't have roles, that they cannot support us, but that connection to source is direct, and it is who we are. You know, when we say I am, we're saying I am God, I am goddess, I am divine, I am all, I am everything. How powerful is that when we truly say it and we understand what that means? I am the creator. You know, we are, there is no separation, because that is what unity consciousness is. That is what we're moving into. When we understand there is no separation, then all of a sudden there is an explosion of understanding of who we are as powerful light beings, pure source energy, powerful with purpose. We are each here as these magnificent beings here on this planet. We are magnificent, spiritual, pure source energy beings. And that is how powerful we are. Everything in the world around us up until now has been teaching us that that's not true. But now we're here to really understand that that is who I am. I am God. But it's so revolutionary to say that, because for eons, you could be burned at the stake and called a heretic. How dare you say, I am God, but I am who I am. We're taking a revolutionary moment when we say that with true belief.
It's also important to remember that we're always comprehending deeper and deeper levels of what this means. We're never like fully comprehending this. Okay, Jesus himself, when he was going through his initiations, when he was a teenager, he had to meditate under the radiance of a master for years on just that phrase, I am that I am, and contemplate it for years without even speaking to anybody else, because it takes that connection to really integrate the truth into you. But that truth continues to expand even for masters that are in a different octave, if you will, a different dimension. Like ascended masters and ascended beings are still comprehending higher truths of the I am. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then those masters are, it goes on and on and on, that it just, it keeps, more gets revealed, more gets revealed. But right now we have this very unique time where, as humans in this octave, we're able to use this energy and move it forward. But the way my guides come in, like directed to me, they said, every time you say I am, you need to understand that that translates into, in the name of God, I command this to be. So like when we're always thinking about what we don't want, or, oh, I'm never going to pay my bill, these, it's like we commanded the universe to do that. So it's like in those times of strife to reverse the code, I guess you could say. It's like, oh, you identify that, oh, but I don't want to be thinking about that. And then you start reprogramming. Okay. And the most powerful way to do that is not just positive affirmations or thinking, but actually contemplating on the fact that the I am presence will fix everything. It creates everything. And when you start connecting, and it's important to love your presence, you know, love, like self-love is not just loving yourself and your body, but also loving the beating of your heart, the life force that comes into you. Well, it's universal law that all that love must pour back through you. And this is positive, powerful things. Bless, say, God bless you. God bless my country. God bless all my friends. Use those words, and your I am presence responds and sets things into motion. You're invoking cosmic currents of energy. Every time we think of our presence and that I am, we're like invoking these currents of energy through us, and then we're directing it. You know, our prayers are not meant to be like begging for help. Our prayers are meant to decree what already is to exist in your life. right? And then give gratitude and thanks for the outpouring of blessings that come into your life. And it's exponential when you begin really, and the more you use it consciously and put it into everything. Say, I am the radiant presence blessing my business, blessing my podcast. And like you begin using this in every aspect of your life, right down to finding the right parking places. You know, like this kind of, you charge your divine energy into literally everything. It becomes a habit, and it's like a momentum gets started that whenever there is a major call that needs to be made, it comes quick.
Ooh, that was powerful. So I didn't imagine my reaction at your workshop because I just had the same reaction. I got emotional, and then there was a moment where I actually, like, my soul felt like it drank a fresh breath of air listening to you talk. And I just, I need a second to recuperate from that. But something that you said that was really powerful, Tangela, was you were talking about hierarchy and how we are directly connected to source. And something I have been saying, honestly, since I was a small child, and I just didn't have the awareness and the knowledge of, you know, yet of what I was saying unlocked, is like, we're all equal. Like I didn't understand hierarchies. And what I've come to know recently through studying the gene keys, I'm not sure if you two are familiar with them, is in my activation sequence, I have its communion, synergy, and dominance. And really what, you know, synergy is it's moving into a society of heterarchy, where we are all equal, we all work together, there's no competition, there's no money. And that's the ultimate communion. It's cosmic communion of no money, no food, right? We're light beings. And as I'm like unlocking that and working with that, it's just, oh, that makes sense why I'm so passionate about the I am. But you just nailed it when you said, like, we are all connected to that source. There is no in between, there is no savior. I'm so passionate about, you know, preaching constantly to people, we are all equal sovereign souls under God, under the divine. Like, you are the creator, and, you know, you are the creator of your reality, and you are your own savior. Like you were saying, this externalized, it, you know, it's meant to keep people enslaved in the system. And that's where most of humanity is right now. And so bringing this into those simple, but massively complex, like you said, Charlie, like contemplating for years, right? This has been in my sphere for a few years. And some days I'm still just like, whoa, like, how am I God expressing itself, right? Like, that's when you have an ego, it's hard to integrate that.
Yeah, and it really is powerful to see that, Charlie, you mentioned everybody's I am expression is unique to themselves. Absolutely. Everybody has their own energetic signature, their own frequency, because they're their own unique expression of the divine creator. And we've each been given that unique frequency to be able to birth something into this world to contribute to the greater collective and be of service. When we tap into that I am frequency, it really points us back to self-love, like we were saying earlier, and understanding who we are authentically and why we came down here and what we have to offer. When more and more people start to unlock that for themselves, we get to see the collective consciousness grow at a much rapid rate, but we also see this massive shift in what life can be, because we have lived in this era of separation for so long that it's been normalized. But in reality, what we are capable of as a society is so much more exquisite than that. Even in just the small pockets of consciousness that are popping up, people remembering, oh, that's right. I am divine. I am part of the divine. You are that as well. And I can see that in you. We recently went to a music festival called High Vibe. In that container, it was hundreds of people who understood, who were there, who were present. There was not a single phone out during the entire festival of people playing music. Everybody was present with one another and caring and loving and expressing their own unique and beautiful light. And we got to see some of the best art and music and love, and just what we are all able to create is magical when we can tap into the truth that we are the source. And like you said, Charlie, it really does show up in your life really quickly.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just like, wow, shifting my language from saying, oh, I really need a parking spot, to I'm going to show up. There is a parking spot there. And I turn around, and almost every single time, actually, since recognizing I am, there is one there.
We literally say, like, sources, God's going to give us a parking spot, and boom.
I was going to say that. So, and you know what? And you guys are not the only ones. I think this is like a common theme with people that are awakening, because the angels just are like, you can never find it. You'll always have the perfect parking place.
Like, and what's the biggest nightmare of the human predicament? It's like, you need a parking space, right?
They're like, we're going to wipe the fear of death out of the consciousness, and the fear of not having a parking spot is going to be gone. And they're just...
Yeah. Before we get into, I definitely want to talk about cultivating the I am presence, because this is, right? Like, this is profound work, and consciousness is this just like massive umbrella that not everybody lives in. This is our whole lives for the four of us, right? Before we do, I want to talk a little bit about this unity consciousness and separation, really, because I think that's going to make more sense to a lot of our listeners. And, you know, caveating that, I want to hear this in your words, but what I'm getting at is, you know, humanity is like 99 some odd percent, a ridiculous number of humanity is living in separation consciousness, i.e. they are unconscious that we are all one. You know, law of one is something that we really like. It's actually how we found our consciousness journey a few years ago. And so I would love if you could dig a little bit into that, of just kind of putting some context into unity consciousness, and maybe it might be a little easier to focus on what separation consciousness is.
You know, that's why I am is such a huge act of liberation. Because when we say I am, and we're saying it authentically for ourselves, we are saying, I am that direct connection to source. I am source. I am who I am. I am not who I have been told to be, which is the way that most of us live our lives right now. And we all live our lives in separation consciousness, because that has been the consciousness now for thousands of years. And all of the institutions in our world, government, education, health, religion, they are based on separation, because they are based on hierarchies of power and control. And so how do we create hierarchies of power and control? By creating separation between you and me, based on money, based on status, based on class, based on power, based on ethnicity, based on race, based on gender. You know, everything for us is about separation. It doesn't mean that we have to be a homogenous world. No, like, we are a beautiful, diverse world. And the diversity is what makes planet Earth so celebrated across the multiverse. Because the multiplicity of who we are is so grand and so beautiful. Like you were saying, Eric, we each have our own unique presence, our own unique connection, our own unique purpose. And we are here to celebrate and be that. But we've been told all this time, we can't be that. You know, you have to be this, and you have to fit into this box. You have to go to this school. You have to get this job. You have to live this life. You have to vote for this party. You have to be with this people. You know, so we are constantly being put into boxes, and we don't really connect with who we truly are. So then when we become part of this consciousness path, when we start stepping into our I am, suddenly, you know, our old lives start falling away. You know, who we were before start falling away. For me, you know, my whole life fell away. And that's the consciousness journey, because we have to allow who we have been told to be to release, so that we can then start letting our soul speak. And remembering, who am I? Who am I? I am. Let the soul speak, and let's hear what the soul has to say. And it's such a powerful journey, because as we let our soul speak, we begin to see that, you know, we are all connected. We are all one, not because we're all the same, but because we're all part of this cosmic, magnificent mosaic. of the multiverse, of God, of the divine. And that's what is unity consciousness, when we can come together in celebration, in community, in communion, moving away from where we've been for thousands of years, separation, competition, co-optation, you know, enslavement, disempowerment. You know, these are all the ideas that we're still living within, but these are of the past. We're here creating a present, the now age, where we know we are all one. We can celebrate each other in the fullness of who we are. And that's how we create unity consciousness, when we are cooperative components of creating the world that we know is possible, where there's no poverty, where there's free education, where there's holistic healthcare for all. You know, this is what we can create, and this is what we are creating together. And that's us stepping out of separation, out of that fear matrix, out of those power programs, and into freedom, liberation, and unity.
And it's important to remember that to developing a unified consciousness, it is self-mastery, and it's not easy, but it begins within ourselves, okay? And to become aware of when you're being pulled one way or the other by politics, all these different things that are of the earthly plane, and remember, like, you know what, I'm going to choose the Charlie party and see who conforms to me. That's like the unified, you know, consciousness, you know. And when you start creating and write out, if I was going to be king of America, you know, what would I want? What would be the best way to keep my country safe and my people safe? And then you see who conforms to you. But doing these little tools and like little mental gymnastics in your mind and learning to stay neutral in things the best you can. Obviously, there's things that flare up within us, but then still take it to your I am presence and be like, you know, why do I still feel a pull one way or the other in these situations? But as you begin mastering that neutrality, it's power. And then this is charging your electromagnetic field. And then you can start dreaming new things into existence. Okay. With that new consciousness grid we speak about. And sometimes people are not ready to hear anything about unified consciousness and togetherness and all of this stuff. So, but what happens is once you master it, and like you're a self-master, your energy spreads to the everybody around you like an antivirus, whether they want it or not. It's going to be anchored into their aura. And then all of a sudden, one day they're going to get these aha moments, and they'll have no idea where it's coming from. They'll have no idea. They've never even heard of the I am presence. And yet all of a sudden they'll start wake up from dreams being like, I am that I am, and be like, what in the world is that? You know, like, and so, but this is how it's working. It's spreading across the earth. But like you were saying, we're each individual pieces of a gigantic 8 billion piece puzzle, right? But until that 8 billion, we're like separated, but we're our own little puzzle piece going back into the mosaic, like Tangela speaks of. And this is what's really happening. But the words the masters say is like, hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. And just dream of the new day, dream of the kingdom of heaven, what your just daydream in your normal thoughts during the day, what your heaven looks like, how easy it is to, like, you could go on YouTube and you start getting agitated, but then you walk outside and stand under the arches and you're like, I'm already in heaven. I'm already here. What was I just like agitated about? And it's about keeping ourselves in that consciousness so that it can then spread around the world. And there's enough of us now, we've hit an event horizon that nothing can stop it. It's like being mainstream. People will actually be seeking out this video one day. They're seeking out your guys' work, right? They're seeking out our work because people are just, something's not resonating anymore. People that are locked into very devotional traditions are now opening up to, what are the chakras? Because I see them every day. You know, they come to me and they're, you know, very devout religious people, and they don't know what to think about it as being in an office like mine. But then they're asking me, what is the chakra? What is the third eye? And like, there's something happening where they're starting to contemplate, do I have a halo? Do I have an aura? Do, you know? And yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Heaven is a state of mind, right? Yes. And like Eric was saying with the puzzle pieces, if this helps listeners, this really helped me, you know, source, right? Think of it like as the like true and original ball of light, if we will. Yeah. Like, these are all, we could never put words on these things, right? Especially English, a created language versus a discovered language, but I digress. if source is like this original ball of light, in order to know and experience itself, right? It exploded itself into infinitesimal, if that's a word, amount of expressions, right? And so they're all still that same source, but there are infinite amounts of unique expressions.
Yes.
And the something you said, Tangela, that was just so beautiful. And I want to be realistic for a minute, right? Like I want to bring it back down, because I know when I was early on in my journey, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous, right? Like this all sounds way too good to be true. And something you were touching on with unity consciousness is what the world will look like when we fully attain and realize that in the 3D. And we have a couple of episodes, if listeners are interested in going back, there's Seeing the New World of Love and Love as a Sanctuary. And those both came after really profound events, the one Eric mentioned, where we got a glimpse into a very curated container of highly conscious, a large group of highly conscious and present people, and how that would look. And I want to save space and acknowledge that's not our reality right now in this moment in the greater collective. And so, you know, as people listen to this, I want them to know it's not all rainbows and butterflies. Like consciousness is a tough journey. It's like you said, deconstructing everything, everything in our lives had to go. All of our friends, we sold our house and everything we owned, like it all has to come down. And it really comes down. It's not even so much about like the material, you know, your job and this and that. It's the identities, it's the beliefs, it's the attachments. And you know, that's for us where the really powerful ego work came in, was like becoming aware of, you know, what am I attached to? What am I trying to control? And you see so much when we ask people, you know, who are you? And it's like, well, I'm a mom and I'm this and I'm that. And it's like, yes, and right. Like you hold those roles in this world, but that is not who you are. And even just like asking people like, how are you? And they struggle so much often to like answer these questions of like, who are you? How are you? Why are you on this planet? What are you bringing to the collective? And the last thing I wanted to touch on is when you were talking about like antivirus, you know, I just was imagining like the spread, not that I personally believe in, you know, germ theory and all of those things. It's not what this show's for, but I thought of like, you know, a disease spreading and like love spreading, right? Like the love sickness. And we say it all the time, like a revolution of love, because that is, I don't think we can put a number to quantify it, but it is significantly more powerful than, I hate this moment where I don't want to say the word like darkness or negativity, because it's not inherently bad and it's necessary for our growth, right? But it's way more powerful. Love is 1,000, you know, millions times more powerful. And so as we're waking up, we're seeing that. We're seeing that in people around us. They're kind of like getting curious. I just had a call a few hours ago with a family member who's woken up and they're in it. They're in the thick of like, what is happening? I've lost my mind. Like everything's crumbling. And to be able to just like 2 years after that happened to me, well, 2-3 years, to be able to like sit with them in that and bring it all back into like, hey, you are eternally safe. Nothing can take that from you. You are love. And let's stop focusing on the videos and the theories and all the crumbling. And let's come back into here, because in here is the only thing you can control.
Yeah, you touched on a lot of really powerful topics right there. And just want to reiterate right there that the light is just so powerful. Darkness cannot extinguish light. It is not possible. It does not matter how much darkness you have in the world. So long as there is one glimmer of light, that light will exist and it will illuminate. And when we bring our conscious presence to expanding our light within ourselves, we see this explosion of love and growth not only happen in our life, but cascade into every interaction that we have with people. When we are living from that I am presence, how we show up in the world is completely different than when we are identified with our natural programming of fear and the ego mind. And so our capacity to really make an impact on this world has been hidden from us, because we have the power as the I am to channel and bring love into this world. That is incredible. We can quite literally change another person's life simply by giving them love.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned that heaven is a state of mind. And I don't think we gave that as much space as it really deserves, because in this experience that we've talked about of externalizing our savior, our teaching, basically everything in our lives, we've also externalized heaven and hell as these places that we may go to after our consciousness, quote unquote, leaves this plane, when in reality, they are states of mind that we exist in this plane. Most of the time that I lived unconsciously, I was experiencing hell. Think about what suffering, think about what hell is and has been depicted to us. It's this place of eternal suffering. And when we are identified with the mind and identified with fear, what do? We suffer. And so we are existing in this hell state. But the minute that we remember I am and bring conscious love into our lives and into the relationships that we have with others, we shift radically from the hell state to the heaven state. Like you said earlier, Charlie, it can happen, I think, like a flip of a switch of, you know, we're all human, we're all still expanding our minds. And so we experience triggering events. We identify with our thoughts sometimes. And actually, we identify with our thoughts lots of times. And we can experience that and have that be natural, have that be a growth experience, and then remember I am and come back to heaven, come back to that love.
Yeah, and something, it's, you know, we're all giggling about it because I know you understand, but something that's coming up for me is we joke, we have a phrase, we say, I fell asleep again. And, you know, when there's these moments of just like deep identification, but what I want listeners to know is while those moments may be challenging, and I mean, this is a journey, it is not linear. It's not just like you wake up and then, okay, you're just conscious forever, right? That you would be enlightened, right? And that is earned, right? That is a journey of dedication and devotion. But what I'm personally noticing in my experience is more and more and more that happens, and I come back to I am, the more and more and more beautiful and profound it gets. And every single time now, especially these last like 3 or 6 months, really since right around Conscious Life Expo, every time I remember I am, if I've forgotten it, which is less often now, but when it does happen, I am just a sobbing mess in the best way. And I'm like in the car and I'm like, it's so beautiful. It's all so perfect. Like, oh my God, like God is, I am, you are, I love you. Like it's just like, you would literally think I took the love drug if that was a thing. Like, it's just, it's this overwhelming, all consuming, every cell of my body, like knowingness that I am eternally safe, everything is perfect as it is, and it's just, you can see it all so clearly. And so that segues perfectly into my next question. How would you, from your experience, coach people and encourage people to start cultivating this presence? Because again, it's really easy to say like, well, remember I am, right? Like I tattooed it on my neck because I thought it was going to help. It did, but it's not that easy. And so what can people start doing, be it exercises or maybe inquiry questions? I know you have your flames to start cultivating that presence in their life.
Well, for me, or the way I teach my clients and that I do myself every morning is to build every day. It's like building a momentum. Like a rhythm, just like if you're going to go to the gym, you want to get some muscles, you got to go to the gym every day. And so you just build it so it becomes the habit. So as I'm brushing my teeth, I start violet flaming my energy and claiming I am my eternal youth. I start thinking of whatever I am affirmations I can get to come through. And so it automatically brings forth the presence into my life for the day. And then I'll eat my breakfast or get ready. And then it doesn't need to be in meditation, I guess is what my point is. It's like I make it throughout the day as I'm driving to work. I'm thinking of new things. I am my perfect bank account. My clients are all miraculously healed. I, you know, no matter what's actually occurring, I'm like charging my reality with this stuff as much as possible. Okay. And then what I find is that everything goes smoothly. Everything goes well. If I do get triggered and have that human moment, I'm like easily able to become aware of it And then I start alchemizing it. I understand that this is just something coming back to me. And then that is now gone. And every day becomes like this. Like the mantra that I taught you, the I am a being of the violet fire, I'm the purity God desires, is very powerful. You can say it just like the rosary. You can get a rosary and just go around, do it 108 times. And what it does with that rhyme, it is beginning to program, and it puts certain activations into your body. It's self-activating yourself, and it has superpower in your, in that real, the depths of your astral body, where all the emotions and all those imprints are that hold us back. But it is, it's about building a momentum and a rhythm of any of the I am affirmations, and then also meditating. It doesn't need to be hours, but like 5 minutes, do meditate on the words I am that I am, or I am in the silence, from that God perspective, I am here and I am there. Simple, very simple one-liners are very powerful.
And like what we've been talking about, of course I am that I am. The resonance is infinite. There's layers and layers and layers of understanding and comprehension that we will continue exploring far after we leave this incarnation. But for each one of us, we have the opportunity to begin diving into what does that mean for me? And it can just be as simple as just saying, I am my perfect peace. I am my perfect joy. I am my perfect patience. What are the qualities that, we are striving for, we are calling for? And just say, we don't need to, we then bring that into who we are. So much of us is running around every day. Oh my goodness, all this is happening. We live in a frenetic world that trains us to be more and more frenetic with our phones, with all the technologies. How do we keep coming back to that peace? I am my perfect peace. I am the perfect love. I am compassion. I am joy. I am goodness. I am full of time. I am full of grace. So all those things that we are often thinking, oh, I don't have enough of, let's bring that into the I am. And just as a practice, as a simple practice with no attachment to it. And you'll see how quickly we can begin shifting our reality. And as we begin to feel that perfect peace, as we begin to feel that infinite sense of time, as we begin to feel that great compassion, that steps us into a deeper and deeper experience of the I am. And for all of us, for all of us, it's an ongoing journey. The consciousness journey, the enlightenment journey is one of ups and downs. Just because you're enlightened, just because you're conscious, does not mean your life is smooth with no issues, no problems. We came into this incarnation for the contrast. We came in to experience all levels, highs and lows, but it is up to us to continue to understand that we are fully supported and loved in every moment. And then connect to the I am and say, I am that perfect peace. I am this perfect love. I am safety. I am trust. I am faith. And when we begin to say that, feel that, believe that, even when the storms are coming and knocking us off, we're able to come back into our I am strength, power more quickly and stay there longer. It doesn't mean we're not going to get knocked off. We will. And the higher you go, again, you can always get knocked all the way down. And no one is just so perfectly perfect that, oh, they've reached this level of enlightenment and they can do no wrong. No, we're all on an enlightenment journey. And for some people, the ups and downs, those peaks and valleys will go very high and very low, but it's up to us when we remember I am, as we even go higher, we can stay connected and stay balanced and stay centered. So that even when we do get knocked off, we can come back.
It's important. Yeah. When our mind starts going and like negative self-talk comes in, all these things, do not be afraid and actually make it a habit when you can to say things like, I am the only power acting in my mind. I am the only power acting in my emotions. This isn't the human you. You're invoking your presence to take command of your mind. So like Jesus said, be still and know that I am God. You know, like when your mind starts going, just tell it to stop. Our mind is like a computer. And if we don't hit the pause button, it'll just keep going. I should have said this, I should have said that. We will go on all day wondering about what we should have done different. We don't need to think about that. It's already done. All right, just stop, get behind me, and let's move forward. But using that power and like using your command, using your scepter of power is where we are at in evolution now. And it's not unloving to do this. This is like taking control and mastery of your life, your body, and all these things. You can be like, I am the only presence acting in my business. I am the only presence acting in anything. And it like charges. I am the only presence acting in the whole judicial system. And like we can start charging into all governance and know that your call, have no wavering in your consciousness about it. Make your calls and just boom, send them out and then go about your day. And you'll notice all of a sudden your mind starts slowing down and you just are like, oh, what was I just worried about? Or a solution will just pop into your mind. It is like magic because you're bypassing the human mind ego and moving up into the causal mind. All right, is where you really connect with that new consciousness grid. And eventually when you work out all the dualities within you and you will never use information against somebody, you'll have full access to every word, thought, or action that's ever happened on the earth. Okay, it's all stored. That's never been away from it, but it takes this level of purity and like the violet flame and transmuting all the negativities within you and coming into that realization that you are an aspect of God. I am that I am. And so, of course, everybody's memory is your memory.
And
Of course, their thoughts are your
the flames
thoughts.
are powerful etheric tools to help us continue transmuting and transmuting and releasing and bringing releasing these energies, releasing these thoughts, releasing these old programs. We're given these etheric tools to really support us in our consciousness journey. And two of the decrees you like to say are, I am the light of God that never fails. And when we say that, we're like saying, I am the light of God, that because God never fails. God never fails. We call ourselves failures all the time because, oh, I said something wrong or I did something wrong, or what is she gonna think? And then, we create these stories and it goes into a huge spiral. But we can come back and say, I am the light of God that never fails. I am God. It may be hard for us to say, I am God, but we can say, I am the light of God that never fails. And that starts anchoring. I am the resurrection and the life.
Look, that's powerful. That's one that I use, and it carries an extra added layer of alchemy to that. If I am the resurrection and the life of my perfect fulfillment and peace now, I am the resurrection and the life of my eternal youth and perfect health. We can say this, my divine plan fulfilled. But this is powerful. People don't understand the power of these words. But the deeper you begin comprehending the I am, even more power comes through them. Okay, more cosmic energies, more of these higher beings will send forth their love and energy through you into the outer world. So go big, go big. I am the resurrection and the life of my perfectly functioning government. My perfectly functioning medical system. Instead of seeing the things that are wrong with everything, just decree the perfection.
As we decree that perfection, we are creating that perfection. People might think you're crazy. Like, what are you doing? But you're saying, I am creating the reality that I know exists. And that's what we're doing together as we step into our higher levels of consciousness, knowing I am God, I am Goddess, I am the divine, I am the divine creator. That means we are the divine creator of everything and anything around us. When we see the wars happening around the world that we cannot even believe are still occurring in this day and age, and we are just devastated. We send the greatest love because I am love. I am peace. I am perfection. I am safety. I am humanity. I am comfort. I am compassion. I am the nurturing mother. I am the protective father. And we bring those energies across the world. And we are shifting and changing the planet as we do this, as we all continue to do this together. And that's the power of I am.
And to make it, and to put also put it for your listeners, like, it isn't me creating these things. I am creating these things, okay? And to differentiate the difference between me and I am, okay? And this is something that's a little difficult to get over, but this is what you begin comprehending. I'm not saying the little me down here is God, okay? I'm saying I am invoking my God presence that beats my heart to come down and do the works. I alone do nothing. The Father does the works. We hear these things through the masters of all ages, okay? So it's important that people don't let their human ego get in the way and be like, oh my God, I am God, you know, like this kind of thing. It's important that we understand that the little self here is just the aspect of God, and we're developing our direct line to God, to the I am that I am, and knowing that we are working with that energy. These human hands are not doing anything, but the presence can shoot rays of light through our hands that can do anything.
And then when we think about that connection, you know, we can think about a very small tube, but as we continue to dive into I am, that tube grows wider and wider and wider and expands greater and greater and greater. And so that presence and power of who we truly are as God Goddess flows through us powerfully, strongly, energetically, fulfilling us and flowing through us. You know, we are able to continuously expand that connection to who we truly are. And that's what these practices really support us in doing. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of God that never fails. Every time we say these, boom, 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 strength and power of who we truly are as our I am presence begins to flow through even more powerfully.
And with practice, very quickly, you begin feeling the effects in your physical body. Like when you get those waves of love and these kind of things that move through you, it becomes the normal state of living. And then, if anything, you feel out of place when you feel normal again. It's like, wait, I don't want to feel there. You would start running decrees in your mind, and you recharge yourself up with divine energy. Because it's, you know, that's where you want to be. You don't even want to, you might watch a YouTube video and all of a sudden you feel your energy just go, and you're like, oh, what did I do that for? You know, and you're just working your way back out of it until one day you'll be maintaining that level that we're going to. But that's why it's important to let that be the mind chatter. It's like, you're always thinking of these different things. I am the violet flame. I am the sacred fire. I am the resurrection and the life. You don't need to even direct the energy. You can just start thinking those lines, and it's all intelligent already. It knows what to do more than you do. You know, it already, you know, because your presence knows where to direct the energy, even if you're not practicing directing it. But it keeps your mind and your feelings and everything more in balance. And when you're in balance, your body has no choice but to rejuvenate, but to stay healthy. You know, we live in these perfectly functioning body systems when we treat them right. Do some exercise, yoga, you know, do these kind of things, drink a lot of water, and they're like perfectly functioning machines. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of us here on Earth right now that are going to be here for over 100 years. I mean, we're meant to be here to oversee this transition of consciousness and to really pass the torch. I mean, it might be even more than that. We might be like the yogis in the Himalayas that are 200 or 300 years old, you know, and still look like they're 30, right? You just, once you become, your I am presence becomes part of your consciousness, everything is perfectly functioning. I am the only presence acting in my cells and organs. I am the only presence acting in my eyes. You know, you begin making that like a regular, like taking your supplements in the morning, You just start charging your consciousness, even if you don't really see the effects for a little while. You'll soon see your friends, or you go back and see your family or something like this. They'll be like, "Did you cut your hair?" They're not going to be like, "You look younger." They're going to be like, "Wow, are you on a diet, or did you cut your hair?" Because they'll notice your electromagnetic field begins changing before the physical body changes. But that's where it begins.
That was powerful. That was a lot. And I want to thank you for all of that, first of all. I could listen to y'all talk about this for hours, and I'm watching my partner because he didn't get to see your workshop, and so I kind of whispered to him. I was like, "See, I told you." Like, I want to dig in on a couple of things and just give some context and grounding. And one thing I love so much, that you bring it back to the power of our word. And I want to give permission to listeners, like, it's okay to fake it till you make it, right?
Yes,
Like, you don't necessarily have to believe this. You don't have to, like, we're not saying, this has to, like, be your current reality. It's just consciously bringing awareness to the words that we're speaking. And so, really just bringing that in, and giving all of our listeners, like, permission to fake it till you make it, because speech, right? Like, intention matters, yes, but speech is so powerful that we can use that to bridge the gap of awareness and intention. And so just speaking that, thinking that, running through that until that becomes your reality, this is something, I definitely had to do. And something really early on you said, Tangelo, was you were talking about, this little tube, this little sliver. I can't not imagine an umbilical cord, but like a really pretty, sweet, white, light one. And it does grow. And we said this on an episode we did recently, of the more you stretch and clear out the channel, the more water can flow, right? And so the more that you cultivate that, the stronger and the easier it will get. And so, another thing too, Charlie, you were talking about meditation. For me, something I found incredibly powerful that we learned in our spiritual academy we did was an I am meditation, and it's so simple. It's something I've recently included in my new prison ministry and the curriculum I'm sending in, a spiritual consciousness curriculum into the prisons, because we don't have much of that, and that's something I've been called to do. And so one thing listeners can do, and I'm so happy I finally have an episode to share this on, is, when you're sitting in silent meditation, there's two ways you can do it. When you breathe in on your in-breath through your nose, you're inwardly saying the word I, and when you breathe out through your mouth, you're saying am, and you're just circulating. You're just yogic breathing that I am, in, out, in, out. There's nothing else in your awareness other than your breath and the I am, and it starts to incorporate that into your breath and your being, to where all day, every day, I'm just I am, I'm as I'm breathing. And the another really beautiful one of that that our spiritual teacher, Aaron Abke, who's a great teacher on Law of One and consciousness, is the Sanskrit version of that. And this one, we at least learned it doing it audibly, because it matches the breath. But on the in-breath, it's hum, and on the out-breath, it's sa, hum, sa, hum, sa, I am. And so either one of those, if they resonate, and this is something I tell people, anything you're going through, any moment, even if it's for a split second, it's a win. Pause. I do it in the grocery store. We'll be dead in the middle of a conversation, and one of us will just stop, shut our eyes, like, nope, we need to go back to that. Like, pause. I am, and it just one breath, and it is a radical shift in the state of being. And it's something really simple you can do. And I just really wanted to offer that to listeners and give everyone permission to, like, not be maybe right where we all are. Like, clearly there's four people here who are very devoted, and deeply entrenched in consciousness, and specifically the I am presence. But for those who may not be there, it's a journey. Take your baby steps. Like, know you're not in this alone. We're all in this together. There's so many great resources out there to expand this and grow this. And I know you had something you wanted to add.
Yeah, that was really beautifully said. And this whole notion of faking it till you making it,
So you made it.
is really where we started. And that's kind of how we begin, you know? You don't know what you don't know. Once you start practicing, things will begin to reveal themselves to you. Like you said earlier, Charlie, our minds are just like a supercomputer. And right now, they're running this algorithm and this program of the ego, just like an AI, right? It's like, okay, I am this human meat suit, and I'm this small separated version of me, and I believe all of these things about me. Tanjili, we were talking about labels earlier, about how our words are so powerful, and we experience these labels as who we are currently. And when we begin to reframe that and really understand what the I am presence is, which is that we are not those labels. I am not a father. I am not a business owner. I am not someone who likes the color blue. You know, all of these identities that we've accepted into our program of our computer, what we're doing with the I am presence and curating that channel directly to the divine is basically saying, I am plugging in my computer and getting a software update. I'm going to wipe out the old system. I'm going to download that new intelligent presence from the creator. And then I am now going to use my words to speak that into reality, into presence. And so what we are doing by saying these I am statements is we are actually programming our subconscious to accept these new beliefs, accept this understanding of the creator, and manifest that into our reality. And so, much like a computer, we have the capability to write our own code. And the I am presence allows us to do that, not because, Charlie, like you said, I, the human down here, am God and I can do these things, but rather, I am connected to that source code, and I am now downloading that source code and applying it in my life.
That is such a good analogy, and this brings it all full circle. And I'd love to really hone in on this to close us out. Is we cannot stress this enough, right? You mentioned it, Charlie. You've now mentioned it, Tangela. You touched on it, and I'll just bring it home for us. Is we have to be careful, right? We have to be careful in the realm of consciousness because we are humans right now. We have an ego, and you know that was a huge one third of the curriculum we did in this what in our spiritual program was master your mind, and it was all about learning about the ego, its attachments, and its ways of functioning, and how to work with it in a healthy way. Because you know we were talking about this today. You hear ego death, right? And that is another one of those kind of traps of like, yes, and it dies and then it comes back, you know, like it's always going to be there. We agreed to come down here and experience this human realm. And I definitely fell into that trap. Like I remember my first like full and complete ego death. It was a radical shift in consciousness. It was about a year ago. I jumped off of a bridge. I was base jumping and I just like bleh, ego death. And for like a week I lived in, you know, this world, and I had this notion that that was going to be my life now. And then, you know, a week goes by, and the high was gone, and life came back, and he triggered me, and I was like, wait a minute, this isn't what I was anticipating. And so I want to set realistic expectations. And that number one, I think we've driven that home, but really driving home, this is something we get to learn to live with, and it is a beautiful tool and catalyst for growth. And as you work with it and reprogram it, it starts to serve you, right? Good servant, bad master. And so we can rewrite that, and really encouraging people on their consciousness journey as you work with the I am presence to be careful of that, like I am God, right? We've seen what happens when that is done in an unhealthy way. I think that actually, to be honest, got us into a lot of the places we're in as humanity, that understanding and that wisdom was, you know, used on the other side of the coin. I won't use those words, but on the other side of it. And so as people move on this journey, I just really want to encourage listeners, you know, be aware, and definitely, you know, educate yourself on what is the ego and how does that manifest? How does it manifest for you? You know, journaling, praying, meditating, inquiry. There's so many. Is an infinite amount of paths. There is no one right path, but just make sure there is a path to be cognizant of that, because when we start working with I am, right? Like, that's so powerful, and we can't even quantify how powerful it is. And so with great, what is that quote? You know, with great power or come with great responsibility, with great power comes great responsibility, or something like that, to that effect. And so really driving that home, because what we are doing here in this consciousness realm is powerful, and it is changing the course of human history, and it is changing the course of consciousness. And so it should be done with reverence. It should be done with grace and love and respect, which brings us right back into our title of, you know, love, comma, I am, right? I am, comma, love. Like, either way we do it, and I'm torn on which one, but love that I am, and do it with love and intention, and remember that above all else, we are love. That's what we are. It's what our natural state is. It's what creation is. It's what energy is. It's what everything is. And so cultivating that love is a really surefire way to cultivate more of that I am. And so I'm so grateful you two were here today to talk about this. I would love if you could share with our listeners, how can they connect with you? How can they connect with Soul Search, with your offerings, Charlie, all of the fun things? We'll put them in the show notes as well, but I'd love to give you some space to talk about what is going on in your sphere and what you're offering to the collective right now.
Okay, well, I just want to touch on real quick about the responsibility, right? When we come in, there's going to be massive waves of people beginning to their journey. And what you'll see is the human ego always tries to make people think they're farther along than they are, okay? And so it's very important to continue your studies. I mean, the highest beings will channel through me, even if it's 15 minutes a day. Continue studying. Don't ever think you know it, right? Just keep evolving. And it's our responsibility to, when you become conscious of the I am and the sacred fire, it's our responsibility to, like, put domes of protection over people that are finding their way. Okay, saying, I am the sacred fire, love, and eternal protection over this group, or over this teaching, or over this teacher, so that they keep getting truth without thinking they're being judged and their human ego is not reacting. From a distance, we can project these protective spheres around whole groups, around your prison systems, all the people that you're working with, so that nobody's really coming into that human ego. They're continuously open and expanding. Now, for me, I'm in Sedona. So if anybody's ever out here, my office is in above the center of the New Age. I can't think of the address right now, but you can call me or text me.
And also the website.
And my website is at sacredfiremastery.com. And my email is charlie@sacredfiremastery.com.
And you offer intuitive sessions.
Yes, I also, I offer intuitive session, channeled messages, channeled angel readings,
healing,
sacred fire healing, but also mentorship and mastery. Life coaching, mastery teaching.
She's just like, I'm sorry, we're kind of giggling over here. I'm just like, your partner's like championing you right now. She's like, yes, Angela, you tell him, like, don't be modest. You have many offerings.
Exactly. He always wants to kind of, you know,
it's on my website.
Exactly. So there is a lot that you offer.
The humble warrior.
There's nothing wrong with that. And Tangela, what about you?
So, you know, for me, people can connect with us on, just visit soulsearch.io. That's our website. You can always email and contact me and our whole platform at info@soulsearch.io. You can see all of the offerings. We have many practitioners. So if you're looking for a practitioner, come and check out the platform. If you are a practitioner and you're looking for a way to promote yourself, get yourself out there more, we have many different levels of membership. Also, definitely check out soulsearch.tv and come to one of our enlightenment expos, which we host almost, you know, every month. We have one or two all over California or Arizona. And, you know, we're really here to, again, support people wherever they are on their consciousness journey. And that's what really all about. And even with this conversation, which Amaris and Eric, thank you so much for such a beautiful discussion. So powerful. And I love all of the practical tips and tools that you're giving to your audience, because it's true. It can feel very overwhelming sometimes, like, oh, wow, like, what is all of this? And You know, it's just like start simple and start with what feels good to you. If you have a meditation practice that you're already doing, 10 minutes of silence or a walking meditation, stick with that. But just, you know, you might want to, you know, just include throughout your day. If you feel frenetic, just I am the perfect peace, or doing the in-breath, out-breath, I am, you know, just anything that's just going to start, you know, getting you in a new practice, if that feels comfortable for you, if that resonates with you, and then you can take it a step further. Each one of these acts, when we choose to love ourselves consciously, as you guys are sharing with the world, that is an act of liberation. And it's a revolution that we're creating, a love revolution. And love revolution starts with each act of liberation. And that's us choosing to take that path of love in whatever way it looks for us. And that path of love is also constantly, eternally shifting and changing. And that's okay too.
Thank you both so much for being here. We love you. We love our listeners. And I will leave them with just remember, above all else, you can always choose love. You are love. We are all one. We are all in this together. It's all perfect and it's all going to be just fine. And I cannot wait more than anything in my entire existence to see what's to come of this shift in consciousness and where we're headed. So thank you both for your service to humanity, for all that you are offering. Thank you to our listeners for doing this work. Thank you to you for doing this work with me. And let's just keep cultivating that love, because it is radically changing the world, and we're just going to keep on that train. So thank you all so much. Signing off with so much love.